It's 2 a.m. and you're lying in bed mentally rewriting an email you sent to a potential client hours ago. Your brain is spinning worst case scenarios faster than a slot machine, and you're already planning how you're going to rebuild your entire business from scratch because this one email has obviously destroyed your reputation forever. I'm Diane Wingert. This is ADHD-ish, and today I'm talking about something that affects just about every entrepreneur with ADHD, but rarely gets discussed in business circles: how our emotional intensity can be both our greatest asset and our biggest liability. More importantly, we're going to talk about what to do when you've crossed the line from passionate entrepreneur to someone trapped in their own emotional chaos, masquerading as drive. Okay, friend, before we dig in, let's talk terminology. I mean, what is emotional dysregulation anyway? So, emotional dysregulation is not code speak for "you're too sensitive." It's a neurological reality that means your emotional volume controls are essentially broken. You've got two settings: whisper quiet and stadium loud, with very little middle ground. Now, for neurotypical brains, emotions are more like a thermostat. They adjust gradually to maintain emotional equilibrium. But for ADHD brains, emotions are more like a smoke detector. It goes off whether you've got burnt toast or your house is on fire. Everything feels equally urgent, equally intense, equally personal. And this is not about being dramatic or extra, although I've been called both, and I bet you have too. Your brain literally processes emotional information differently. The parts that are responsible for executive function, you know, the ones that help you prioritize tasks and manage time, they're also the same ones that help regulate emotional responses. So when those areas are running on the ADHD operating system, your emotions get the same treatment as your to-do list. Everything feels like a priority, nothing gets properly filtered, and you're constantly in reactive mode. The 0 to 100 phenomenon is real. You can go from mildly concerned about a client's tone to "my business is failing and I should just frickin' quit" in the span of like reading a single email. It's exhausting, it's disruptive, and traditional advice like "just take a few deep breaths" falls about as flat as "just try harder" did from your second grade teacher. Now, let's talk first about emotional dysregulation in the solopreneur experience. When you are running a one-person show, emotional dysregulation becomes amplified because you are the business. There's no team to provide reality checks, no colleagues to help you calibrate your emotional responses. It's just you, your ADHD brain, and whatever emotional weather system is currently rolling through. The isolation amplifier is real. When you work alone, there's nobody to say, "hey, you know, maybe you're reading too much into that client's feedback," or "I don't know, that email sounded fine to me." You're left to interpret every single interaction through the lens of rejection sensitivity, and you don't need me to tell you that RSD makes everything look like a threat. Here's how this shows up in the day-to-day reality of running a business as a solopreneur. Pricing conversations become emotional minefields. Someone asks for a discount, and suddenly you're not just negotiating your rate, you're defending your worth as a human being. A potential client decides to hire someone else, and your brain translates it into "you're just not good enough" instead of "they wanted a different fit." Contract negotiations can feel like a personal attack. Requesting revisions to your standard terms isn't just doing business, it's rejection straight up. Asking for references isn't doing due diligence, it's questioning your credibility. And social media becomes a dopamine slot machine that is set on torment. Low engagement on a post? Clearly everyone hates your content. a competitor gets more likes? Well, obviously, you should just call it quit and get a job doing inventory at Costco. Sales calls can turn into emotional gambling. There's no way to intellectually know that a no isn't personal, and your nervous system didn't get the memo either. So each rejection feels like confirmation that you just don't have what it takes to be a successful solopreneur. And when the perfectionism paralysis kicks in as emotional protection, if you ever put anything out there, you can't be criticized. So if you never raise your prices, you can't be rejected. And if you never pitch that big client, well, you simply can't hear them say no. So your brain thinks it's protecting you, but actually it's suffocating your business. Now let's talk about when you become a team leader, when you go from solopreneur to boss of one or more employees, whether they're contractors, virtual, it doesn't matter, because leading a team when you've got emotional dysregulation means that your emotions don't just affect you anymore. They ripple out to everyone who depends on you for direction and stability. The weight of your responsibilities as a business owner and head of that team can make your emotional regulation even harder. You know that your team is watching for cues about the business's health. And when you're spiraling about a client concern or a cash flow worry, it takes a lot of energy to maintain professional composure, and some of us just don't. And here's where it gets especially tricky. Giving feedback when you're hypervigilant about your own rejection sensitivity means you might avoid necessary conversations because you're projecting your own sensitivity onto your team members. You know how much criticism stings, so you avoid delivering it even when it would help someone improve. On the flip side, receiving feedback from those team members can send you into an emotional free fall. When an employee suggests a process improvement and your brain hears, "You don't know what you're doing." Someone asks for clarification on your expectations and your RSD translates it into, "They think you suck as a leader." Performance reviews? Well, that's a whole other level of an emotional obstacle course. You're trying to be objective and constructive, but your nervous system is treating every piece of critical feedback like a personal attack. So you end up either being too harsh because you're overcompensating for your sensitivity, or too soft because you can't bear the thought of making someone else feel how criticism makes you feel. The ripple effect is real, my friend. When you're emotionally dysregulated, trust me, your team feels it. They start walking on eggshells, second-guessing their communication, or worse, losing confidence in your leadership because they can sense the instability even when you think you're hiding it well. Trust me, it's not hidden as well as you think. Let me talk for a minute about some industry-specific impacts. And the types of businesses that I work with, creative professionals, service-based businesses, and product-based businesses. There are some slightly different ways this plays out. Let's talk about the creative professionals first. For most creatives I work with, their work feels like their very soul is on display. Every client revision isn't just feedback on a project, it's judgment on their artistic vision, their talent, or even their worth. When someone asks you to just make the logo bigger or change the color scheme, and your brain interprets it as your creative instincts are just freaking wrong. And the feast or famine cycle of much creative work amplifies this. Because when projects are scarce, every piece of feedback feels like it could make or break your financial survival. Now, service-based businesses, in my experience, often face the people-pleasing trap. Your ADHD brain wants to avoid rejection at all costs, so you say yes to all kinds of things like scope creep, failing to protect your boundaries, undercharging because asking for what you're worth feels like courting disapproval. And difficult client conversations can become exercises in emotional endurance rather than professional problem solving. For product-based businesses, dealing with market feedback loops can send you spinning. A customer review isn't just product feedback, it feels like personal judgment. And a return request, whoo, personal rejection. Inventory decisions made during emotional states can lead to either overcautious ordering that stunts your growth or impulsive purchasing that strains your cash flow. So here's where we get real about what makes this whole situation worse. What I call the ADHD entrepreneur's perfect storm. We are so good, I would say spectacular even, at creating the perfect conditions for emotional chaos while telling ourselves we're just being passionate. How does this look? Working 80-hour weeks and calling it commitment when what we're actually doing is using our business as emotional regulation. When you're hyper-focused on business tasks, you don't have to feel the uncomfortable emotions like fear, uncertainty, and doubt that are actually lurking underneath. The problem is that exhaustion from those 80-hour weeks makes your emotional dysregulation exponentially worse. You know what else happens? We develop tunnel vision, where our business becomes our entire identity. When your self-worth is completely tied to business outcomes, every client interaction, every financial fluctuation, every market shift feels like a personal crisis rather than a professional challenge. And we sacrifice the core habits that are the very foundation of emotional regulation. I'm talking sleep, exercise, and nutrition. We tell ourselves, I don't have time for the gym, while spending 3 hours doom scrolling social media. We skip meals because we're in the zone and then wonder why that afternoon client call turned into an emotional shit show. And can we talk about social media? For so many of us, it becomes crack for our ADHD brains. We are seeking dopamine hits from likes and comments while simultaneously setting ourselves up for comparison spirals and validation addiction. Every single post becomes a test of our worth, and every algorithm change feels like we're being personally fucked with. We develop caffeine dependencies that we mistake for productivity strategies because stimulants do help with focus, but they also amplify emotional reactivity. That third cup of coffee might help you power through your to-do list, but you know what else it's gonna do? Dramatically increase the likelihood of you losing your absolute shit over something actually minor. The self-perpetuating cycle looks like this. Exhaustion leads to poor emotional regulation, which leads to bad business decisions made from emotional states, which creates even more stress and problems, which leads to working even more hours to fix everything, which leads to more exhaustion. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, till you either burn out or have a total breakdown. Now, here's the truth. There is a fine line between passionate and dysregulated. So I want you to listen for the nuance, because emotional intensity really can be your competitive advantage, but it has to be channeled strategically. The problem is that many of us have convinced ourselves that all emotional intensity in business is good intensity. And here's the hard truth. There is a difference between passionate conviction and emotional flooding. Passion is fuel for your business engine. Dysregulation is the fire that burns down the building. Can you trust yourself to know the difference? Well, let's start with this question. Can you discuss your business without getting worked up? If someone asks you about your pricing and you immediately get defensive, that's not passion, my friend. That's dysregulation. If constructive feedback about your product sends you into a tailspin, that is not caring deeply about what you do. That's being emotionally reactive. Here are some other signs that your passion might actually be dysregulation in disguise. All feedback is taken personally. You make major business decisions while in emotionally elevated states that look like this: hiring an expensive consultant because you're panicking about competition, or cutting your prices because you're spiraling about cash flow. You're burning out team members with your intensity by creating an environment where people feel like they have to match your emotional energy, or you tell them they're not committed enough. The passion paradox is that we absolutely need emotional investment in our businesses. Entrepreneurship requires that we care deeply, that we take risks, that we push through obstacles that would stop most people. But the sweet spot is maintaining that drive without drowning in feelings. True passion is sustainable. It gives you energy rather than depleting it. It helps you make strategic decisions rather than reactive ones. It inspires others rather than overwhelming them. Dysregulation, on the other hand, is exhausting for everyone involved and leads to decisions you are totally going to regret when the emotional weather clears. And here's the business impact that nobody's talking about. And I want to get specific about what emotional dysregulation actually costs your business, because this is not just about feelings, my friend. It's about your bottom line. Financial decision-making gets compromised when you're operating from emotion. You might underprice your services because you're afraid of rejection, or overspend on your marketing because you're panicking about visibility. Investment decisions made during emotional highs or lows rarely serve your long-term strategy. And let's face it, strategic planning becomes impossible when every setback feels like a catastrophe and every opportunity feels like a life or death decision. You cannot build a sustainable business when you're constantly in crisis mode. Even if most of those crises exist primarily in your emotional response rather than objective reality. Risk assessment gets skewed in both directions. Sometimes emotional dysregulation makes you too conservative because everything feels threatening. Other times, it makes you almost reckless because you're chasing the emotional high of a big win or trying to prove something to yourself. Team retention suffers when your emotional ups and downs create an unstable work environment, because let's face it, good employees don't stick around when they never know which version of you they're going to get: the enthusiastic visionary or the overwhelmed leader who treats every minor issue like a major crisis. Your client relationships deteriorate when emotional reactivity bleeds into professional interactions. Let's be honest, clients can sense when you're operating from an unstable emotional place, and it does not inspire confidence in your ability to handle their needs. Personal burnout is almost inevitable. When you run your business on emotional extremes, you cannot sustain the highs and lows long term because eventually you're going to crash. And when you do, everything suffers. Okay, all right, enough problems. You ready to talk solutions? Let's get into some practical management strategies, because the goal is never to eliminate emotions from business. First of all, that's impossible. And it would rob you of the passion that makes you so effective. The goal is to build emotional scaffolding around your business so that you can feel deeply without everything falling apart. Here's where to start. Recognize the pattern. Each of us has early warning signs when we're becoming dysregulated, and you are no exception. Some early warning signs are physical tension, racing thoughts, black and white thinking, and the urge to make immediate major changes. When you notice these signs, that is your cue to pause, not push forward. I strongly recommend creating pause protocols for when you start to feel the spiral starting. This might be taking a 10-minute walk, having a conversation with a trusted advisor, or sleeping on major decisions. The key is to have a predetermined pause protocol. Don't make emotional decisions when your emotional smoke detector starts going off. By deciding ahead of time what you will do when you start to go off, you're going to be able to prevent yourself from making decisions under the influence of elevated emotions. And let me tell you, this practice has saved my bacon more times than I can count. I also strongly recommend implementing a 24-hour rule for big decisions, and some people need more, like 72 hours. Why? When you're emotionally agitated, you do not have access to your full range of cognitive resources. So giving yourself time to downregulate before making significant choices will prevent most emotional decision-making disasters. Also, build emotional circuit breakers into your business. These are predetermined stopping points that prevent emotional overwhelm from cascading into business chaos. It might be a rule that you don't respond to difficult emails immediately, or a practice of running financial concerns past an advisor before taking action. Both of these circuit breakers are built into my business, and I recommend them to my clients as well. Now, I mentioned building emotional scaffolding, so let's talk about exactly what that looks like and how it supports emotional stability. Sleep, movement, and nutrition are not optional for entrepreneurs with ADHD. These are business necessities disguised as self-care. When you're sleep deprived, every email is going to feel urgent. When you're sedentary, your anxiety has nowhere to offload. And when you're running on caffeine and takeout, your emotional regulation is running on fumes. So create structured work boundaries, even as a solopreneur. What does that mean? Defined start and stop times, designated spaces for work, a clear separation between business concerns and personal time. Hey, your ADHD brain needs external structures because your internal boundaries are simply unreliable. Now, if you are solid in the emotional regulation department, you might not need this much structure, but I would hate for you to gamble on it because you resist feeling constrained in any way. I also recommend scheduling regular emotional check-ins with yourself. This is not touchy-feely bullshit. It is business intelligence. Knowing your emotional state can help you make better decisions about everything from client interactions to strategic planning. Set social media boundaries that actually work for you. For me, that's designated times for posting and engagement, using apps that limit my scroll time, and taking regular social media breaks. My emotional regulation and yours is just too important to sacrifice to algorithmic manipulation. Structure your day to minimize emotional triggers. This is so important. And if you know your triggers, you owe it to yourself to do this. If checking email in the morning sends you spinning, don't check it first thing. If afternoon energy crashes make you catastrophize, schedule your challenging conversations for earlier in the day. Work with your emotional patterns instead of against them. Don't think you have them? Take your emotional temperature every couple of hours throughout the workday for 1 week, and I promise you, you will recognize patterns. Here's another tip. Create communication templates for when you're not at your best. I love having predetermined responses for common scenarios because sometimes I'm too emotionally dysregulated to craft professional communications, and I definitely don't want to send them. Also, build in recovery time after you've dealt with a difficult conversation or a challenging situation. Our brains need longer to process emotional experiences, so back-to-back interactions that don't leave any room to process are a recipe for overwhelm and possibly going off on somebody that has nothing to do with what you're feeling. And there are times that we all need professional support, whether we're talking about therapy, coaching, or medication intervention. Each of them serves different purposes in managing the emotional dysregulation that is part of ADHD. Therapy helps you understand and process underlying patterns. Dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT, is particularly effective for developing emotional regulation skills. Cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, can help with thought patterns that amplify emotional responses. They are both proven and very popular for people with ADHD. I highly recommend them. There's also ADHD-informed business coaching, which helps you build systems and strategies that work with your brain. Now, if you are looking for business coaching, please find yourself someone who understands the intersection of ADHD and entrepreneurship, not someone who dispenses business advice that's intended for neurotypicals. And please do your homework. There has been a dramatic increase in ADHD diagnoses in the past decade. So many opportunistic folks just slap ADHD friendly or neurospicy labels on their business coaching practice because they think people like us are a hot market. I have had dozens of people ask me, how do I tweak my coaching program to meet the needs of clients with ADHD, which makes me just a bit emotionally dysregulated, not to mention the horror stories my clients tell me about working with previous business coaches whose quote unquote proven process was totally inappropriate for neurodivergent brains. Medication can be a game changer for many people with ADHD. I take medication and it has been very helpful to me, but I use multiple other strategies as well. Medication for ADHD helps with focus, but for many people, it also improves their emotional regulation. So if you're struggling despite implementing behavioral strategies, it's worth having a conversation with a psychiatrist who understands ADHD. And if your rejection sensitivity is severe, there are medications that offer tremendous relief for those symptoms as well. Here's the thing. You're not broken, and you don't need to become emotionally flat to be successful in business. The goal for us is to move from I'm so emotional in business to I feel deeply, which informs my decisions, and I manage them strategically. Your emotional intensity, when properly channeled, can be a competitive advantage. You notice nuances others miss. You care about outcomes in ways that drive innovation, and you connect with clients and team members on levels that create fierce loyalty. My passion for what I do shows my clients I not only get them, but I am as committed to their success as they are, and that is hard to find. The key is learning to use passion as fuel rather than fire. Fuel powers your engine and gets you where you want to go. Fire can threaten to burn down everything you've worked so hard to build. So I want you to think of emotional regulation not as suppressing your intensity or dampening your passion, but as developing the skill to manage and master them. You want to be able to turn up the heat when you're pitching a big client or rallying your team around a vision, but you also want to be able to dial it back when you're making strategic decisions or handling routine business operations. Just remember this: your emotions are not an enemy. They're just a very enthusiastic business partner who needs some guidance about when to take the lead and when to step back. But with the right scaffolding in place, your emotional intensity becomes the engine that powers your sustainable success instead of the storm that threatens everything in its path. Well, friend, that's a wrap for today. If this resonated with you, share it with another entrepreneur who just might be stuck in their own intensity trap. And remember, feeling deeply is part of our ADHD. You don't need to fight it. You just need to learn how to use it strategically.